I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this club.
Come on. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 548. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. And joining us this week, the whole Gamertag Radio crew. Let's start off with Paris.
So, I was listening to the last episode as I was driving to my new job. Shout out to me. My job's awesome.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. But as I'm listening to the last episode, I got a couple bones to pick. First and foremost, when Peter Toledo is the voice of reason in a conversation,
oh, Jesus.
I almost drove off the road, right? What are you guys talking about that EA cannot put out Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 5 in the same year? They totally can.
They're not the same.
Other than them being first person view, they're not the same game at all. They're different genres.
Paris, I'm not talking about the same year. I'm talking about the same time frame. Like,
that's fine. That's fine. One will come out in October. One will come out in November. It's fine.
Anyways, it's not like, and Pete Rock is here.
It's not like it's Tomb Raider or anything.
Exactly.
And also joining us, Pete. What's up, Pete?
What's up, man? I'm so...
Paris is just hating, man. Just stop hating on our opinions, man. It's
It's legitimate thinking. Just take off the emerald shaded glasses for just a quick
moment. It's not emerald crap. What are you talking about?
Honestly,
Pete, the voice of reason, Pete.
Hey. He was the voice of reason in that one. You and Patrick, y'all lost your minds on that. I'm like, I almost drove off the road. I'm like,
hey, a broken clock is wrong twice a day. Okay, that's all I got to say.
All right. And also joining us, Patrick.
What's up, guys? I mean, I'd still buy both. So I guess I'm a hypocrite, but I wouldn't send them both out in the same month. But that's fine, Paris, if you think that way. I think it would hurt sales. But other than that, I'm doing good. Good to talk to you guys. Paris, I'm glad you're here. Can offer your side of the opinion so you don't have to be mad that when we speak our madness and you have to come back in the next week and put us back in line.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Patrick, because Miss Cleo got a couple things to say. I was right. I told you. I freaking told you Mass Effect was getting delayed because my sources are airtight, son. Tight.
Like your wallet.
You gotta find out more goodies then for the future.
I may or may not know something else.
I'm just saying, E3 is getting close, man. E3 is getting close.
Yeah, it's getting close.
All right.
Oh, and one other thing. No Man's Sky is totally worth $60. If it's everything that they're saying it's going to be, $60 is fine.
Okay, I hope so. Head over to gamertagradio.com or playdiet.com/gamertag and listen to our past episodes and share with your friends. You could also find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other places. Also give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Have you guys taken the survey? Please let us know. If not, help us out. Take this quick, short survey at playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. And help us out here. All right. You too, guys. You got to take the survey. Hurry up. All right.
Okay. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
And all right. So By the way, The Division, by the time you guys listen to The Division, is already out and everything. We just got the game like today. Pete, this book, can you explain to me about this book? Is this, do I really need this for the actual game? It's a unlock secrets from Tom Clancy's The Division.
It's probably not 100% required.
Okay, it's like an interactive adventure.
Yeah, I mean, you can use it to get hints and to get tips on how to play the game better, but it's not a requirement. I think it's like you could. I think you're only available to get that if you got the collector's edition.
Okay.
But I mean, you could probably go to Barnes and Nobles or any of your local, you know, brick and mortar bookstores or Amazon Books or whatever, and probably buy it. But it's not a requirement to play the game. It's just like a tips and gives you a little bit of background on how the game came, you know, how the whole situation of the pandemic coming across and how it affected the world. So it's not a requirement, but it's a good read to give you a little bit more insight and history into the story behind The Division from Tom Clancy.
Right, well, I can't wait. Gonna be playing tonight with you guys.
I'm excited.
So, yeah. By the way, guys, man, this is like sad news, man. You heard about Lion Studios? Lionhead Studios?
Yep.
And Press Play, they're officially, well, not 100% officially shut down, but I think Microsoft is behind the scenes. They're talking to see if they're going to shut it down. But Fable Legends is complete, like, it's already done. It's canceled. That's never going to come out. And wow, that's,
I'm shocked by that. That feels like that game was pretty close to being done. I mean, I don't know how much work they had to do on it, but it seemed like they had a majority of the content for that completed. And it seems like an ambitious enough idea that it would work, regardless of the Fable label on top of it. I mean, ideally, I would have liked to have had a proper Fable 4, but I never really thought that would happen after 3. So
I mean, it's possible. It's possible for like another studio to do it.
They want to sell the rights to another studio and let them make it. Yeah, I mean, because I think the world of Albion is definitely worth revisiting with, you know, newer modern technology and maybe some fresh, you know, non-Peter Molyneux, you know, practical gameplay ideas. You know, you can make still great, a great game out of that concept. This is a bummer. So I kind of hope that, you know, if Lionhead Studios does in turn actually end up shutting down, all those people can go find work at other places and maybe a small team can stay together and, you know, maybe continue Legends elsewhere. But again, I guess it depends on who actually owns the Fable rights. Is that Microsoft?
Well, that's all Microsoft.
Or is that through Lionhead? Do they still have that?
No, that's all Microsoft.
Okay,
that's
so I assume they would. I mean, I hope they would like not lock it up in an archive. I'd like for them to pass it on to other people so maybe they can have a chance making a new Fable game, because I think it's still worth continuing as a series.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of their biggest games so far.
It used to be a Microsoft staple back in the day. I'll never forget the first time I played the first game. So, yep, there's something there to work with. Just sad to see it go. I would have liked to at least tried this game.
Yeah, and here's the thing, you guys, you and also Paris, you guys went to the Spring Showcase a couple weeks ago, and there was no mention about this game at all, which I found it kind of weird. I'm like, that's not a good sign, right?
And it's not something I even realized while there. I wasn't there thinking, oh man, where's Fable Legends? But now that you say it, yeah, it was kind of glaring obvious that a game like that of a first party caliber should have been there. Paris, did you once think about Fable Legends while we were there?
No, it was funny because it crossed my mind that I was like, interesting that Fable Legends doesn't have a presence here, because I'm like, God, it's got to be coming out soon, right? And then I just kind of blew it off thinking, well, maybe it's not going to make the spring and maybe it's a summer game or something. And, you know, just went on about being at the event. But as soon as this news came out, obviously it all makes sense now. Mm-hmm. And the irony is I'd been in the beta for a while. Yeah, I guess we might can say it now. I guess it doesn't matter. But wasn't that impressed the whole time. So I'm not shocked that the game's getting canceled. It's just disappointing that Lionhead Studios is going as well. And like I had said to you guys earlier in the chat, it makes me wonder about Microsoft's European presence as a whole, like specifically Rare. You know, they got that pirate MMO game coming out. If that fails, I mean, they could go too. I mean, let's be honest here. What has Rare truly done significant since they've been acquired by Xbox?
I'll tell you a couple of things. I know to us it's like whatever, but it was a pretty big thing for Microsoft when they did the whole avatar thing for the new dashboard at first. Remember that? I mean, that was all Rare that did that. It wasn't
Yeah, but it was literally them copying what Nintendo did with the Miis. I mean, let's
be honest. Of course. They just made it more, you know.
I'll give them this. The best idea that came out of that was the very few games on 360 that gave you the avatar like character rewards, the shirts, the hats, little nonsense for unlocking achievements. That was a really good idea, because that was a definitely one up over the PlayStation at that time. But that was a while ago, and
and the most recent one, right? Yeah. The most recent game that came out, the rare collection that came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty. I mean.
It's a great game. I mean, I don't know.
It was cool.
I was making the shots at Rare. I would go back and start making Perfect Dark 3, Banjo-Kazooie 4. I mean, go back to your archive. I mean, if you need money, just make some of these old games.
It's not up to them, though. It's not up to them, though, Patrick.
I know it's not, but
they're a Microsoft studio. It's up to Phil Spencer. It's up to the leads of Microsoft to greenlight something like that. And obviously, they've not seen a reason to do so, despite, you know, fans like us that would love to see Perfect Dark come back or see Banjo-Kazooie or something like that. My point is this, like, you bring up the Avatar stuff, you know, they did the things with Kinect and all that. All those are fine and well, but those aren't big AAA type experiences that came out of a studio the size of Rare. My point is, you could farm that out to a smaller studio and get that same experience. So, if this pirate game is going to be Rare's comeback, it's going to be their big AAA experience to say, hey, we're Rare, we're back, you know, start investing in us again and we can start making AAA games again. It needs to be a success, because if that game tanks, why would Microsoft trust them with any of their franchises? Now, I'm not saying that Banjo or any of these games would never come back again. Just like Killer Instinct, they can easily be sent to another smaller studio. That's the point I'm making.
I agree, Paris, but here's the difference between Lionhead and Rare. Rare has been releasing games, even games that we don't like at all.
Like what?
But it's still, no, like, you know, Kinect games and all this stuff. Like, it's games that we don't like, but they have more games right now, more than Lionhead. What else Lionhead has?
But, and I'm not even being funny here. I'm asking a legit question. Has Rare put out a game on the Xbox One?
The only thing they did focus on, the Rare collection,
in my opinion, that's just a remake of stuff. I'm talking about a new game. Have they put out a new game on the Xbox?
Not yet.
No, because they spent 2000
Kinect Adventures.
They spent 2009 through 2014 solely working on Kinect.
Yeah.
So, no.
Oh, wait, I think they did. It did a Kinect Sports for Kinect, which kind of for Xbox One, but it was kind of.
But still, what I'm saying is they have
way more games that they worked on more than Lionhead. Lionhead has only been working on Fable, and honestly, the only Fable game that got my attention was 1 and 2. That's it. Well, everything was just all right.
Well, I guess my point is this. When I think of Microsoft Studios, I think of Turn 10, I think of 343, I think of the Coalition. Those are like the big studios, right? Rare, they just aren't anymore. And look, and I'm a Rare fan. Don't get me wrong. I want to see all these classic games that we've been talking about have a comeback, and I'd love to see what they're going to do with their new IP. But they just, like Pete said, they got turned into the Kinect studio, and now's the time that Kinect is dead. They got to reprove themselves. So I just hope they don't have the same fate as Lionhead. That's all I'm saying.
So to get away from the negativity of Rare and what they become as what you know as opposed to what they were before.
Yeah.
Did you guys happen to see Knoxville, Project Knoxville, at the showcase?
No, that doesn't ring a bell at all.
No.
Because right, that's another game. It was one of the press play projects that they were working on. It was like a third person survival type game. And I was kind of looking forward to it. Now that it's not going to happen, it's like, well, damn, you know?
Huh. You know what this reminds me of? Remember back in the days, Paris? That famous MMO game that was supposed to come out for the original Xbox,
True Fantasy Online.
Yes.
Oh God, yeah.
Love that game.
Still to this day, I still want it. So mad about
Level
that
game. Level 5, man.
God.
What could have been?
You know, if we ever, ever sit down with either Aaron or Phil, I would love to ask them that question. Like, whatever happened to that game?
Happened to BC?
Yep.
Since we want to go old school.
Yep. I was also thinking right.
Because that was Lion. That was Peter, so that would have been Lionhead Studio as well.
Wow, I forgot about BC.
Yeah. Xbox used to have some ambitious games. I don't know why they never got off the ground.
Well, I know we're getting sidetracked, but don't forget, at one point, Xbox was going to do a Marvel MMO. And then that just kind of disappeared.
wait a minute. Who was the one that working on that game?
I can't remember the studio, but it was at an E3 press conference. They were talking about it. I forget the year. But this was
Marvel Heroes?
I can't remember if it was original Xbox or it was early days 360, but they were talking about a Marvel MMO. This was before Marvel became what is Marvel today. You know,
so Marvel Universe Online, right?
I can't remember.
Was that that was before the whole Disney thing?
Well, this is like five, 6 years ago. I mean, this is still.
This was like 10 years ago. This is a long time ago.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Huh.
Got to be Marvel Universe Online. That's when they tried to work on Cryptic Studios with Cryptic Studios, right?
No, this was. I know what you're talking about. No, this was even before that.
Oh,
I got to hit the Googles after. You know what? Yeah, do
some search. By the way, Paris, what's going on with E3, dude? Now two more companies decide not to be at the show floor.
Dude, well, you know, and you guys touched on this on the last episode. And,
yeah.
Dude, here's the thing. E3 is going to happen this year. I'm saying as early as 2017, there may be a radical shift of how they're going to handle this. And like you kept saying, Danny, they got to open this thing to the public. Look at Gamescom. Gamescom, they have hundreds of thousands of people go through that thing in Germany, and it works, right?
It works, yep.
They can do that here. They can easily do that here. And EA is already saying that's what they want to do, basically, by doing the event they're doing this year. Won't be. Maybe Activision doesn't do it this year, but Activision can easily do it next year. You're going to look when Microsoft or PlayStation breaks away, E3's done. That's all that's holding it together now. The fact that Microsoft and Sony are still a part of E3, but if they decide, yep, we're not going to have a booth, might as well just fold the tents. It's over. It's a wrap.
Well, Disney, they really don't have anything going on. So it's like they could do a fan event during the summer.
Yep.
Wargaming, they think it just doesn't make no sense for them to have a booth over there, you know? So that part I can understand.
Just keep throwing the party. We just want the party. Yep.
You say Wargaming, I think party.
Yeah. And here's another company that I doubt they're going to be there, Konami. Do you see them being at E3?
Like, so people can throw eggs at them? Come on. Like, yeah.
Sega,
they need to
like,
go back to the drawing board. Dude,
what about Sega? That's another one. You know? So, I don't know, man. E3 is getting smaller and smaller, man. It's...
Any chance that we might be seeing the end of an era where then, like, maybe 3, 4, 5 years, E3 is just a memory?
Pete, I think we may be at the last E3.
In
its current form, and what I'm saying is being the spectacle that it is mm-hmm. right now, this could legit, it could happen that fast, Danny.
You think it could go back to how it was 10 years ago when it went back to those hotel meeting rooms that
No, they better not.
No,
cancel it if that's the case.
That was, let me tell you, that was one of the worst experience ever.
You think it goes back to something like an ultra conservative, like, invitation only type situation like they veered into a couple of years ago and then they realized they errored their ways and went back out.
I think it's the opposite. I think they embrace the public because the problem is, and obviously EA is seeing this, Activision is seeing this, dude, you get more eyeballs on your content and you control the message by streaming it and by holding public events. Versus let's have something for the media only and they got to set up appointments and meetings and do all this. And then the message is filtered through them versus giving it directly to the people. And you know exactly the message that you want to tell the public. It just makes sense. That's what I'm saying. I can easily see starting next year, these publishers start working with the ESA and they just turn it back into a public event. Because if people don't forget, late 90s, early 2000s, E3 used to have the media part, and then on the weekends, it was open to the public. They can go back to that. Why not?
Yeah. You know what it is, too, Paris, that it's old media, this whole new media thing now with YouTube and on Twitch and podcasts, like all that stuff took over. And honestly, all these companies, they could depend on that without the media. They don't need the media anymore like back then.
No, agreed.
And it's true what you said. And what, like you said, they could control the message by doing it that way too, which is, I think is true. I agree with that.
I mean, think of this. Think of this. I don't know about you guys, but I get more out of watching a Twitch stream of the game actually being played than reading an article on IGN. That's just it is what it is. The technology is there now to where I can actually see the game being played. I can have the developer themselves telling me their thoughts on why they made certain decisions. You can have these pro gamers or streamers or whatever playing the game, representing us, basically giving their impressions. And I'm going to get my opinion from that versus reading an article online. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm going to trust that a lot more than I am some salty editor at Polygon.
Wow. Shots fired.
Well, salty.
Am I lying? Patrick.
Yeah.
You were with me at the spring showcase. Mm-hmm. I will not say names, but there were certain quote unquote video game editors that were salty as beepity beep, beep, beep. As we're watching those games, they were not enthused. They were not excited. It was like, oh God, I got to go. All right, I'm going to do it. You know, mm-hmm. People are tired of that. I'm tired of it.
I've been tired for 10 years. Since I got into this, I'm noticing things like that around me.
Isn't gaming supposed to be fun? Aren't we in this because we love it? It's not like, oh, it's just my freaking job. All right, I'll write about your stupid game. That's what it's turned into.
That's the problem. Let's say you're an editor, a blogger, or video, YouTuber, you don't want to send that energy to the gamers, to the community. You know, that's basically sending negative vibes to all these people that look up to you, that are influenced by your content, and you're like, at the event, not caring about it.
Yeah.
And that's true. I've seen many people in the past that been doing that. Maybe they just hate their job. I mean, I don't know. Somebody's excited, man.
Well, think about it. And again, this is just being real. You've been covering video games for 10 plus years. You've been to all these events. You've been all the preview, review events, all this kind of stuff. At some point, you're going to be jaded. It is just human nature, right? So instead of having to rely on that to be my information source for news about gaming, why not get people that genuinely enjoy the medium? Still, it's going to be these streamers. It's going to be these people. I'm not going to say us, but just people that podcasts and things like that as a hobby, they're going to be enthusiastic about this. And that's not saying that you're just going to, butter up every game and say it's the greatest thing in the world. You can still be objective about stuff. You can say what you love and what you hate, but you have I think it was Polygon or it might've been Kotaku. They went to one of the editors went to the Guitar Hero event last year and he's writing in the article about how he didn't even want to be there. And it's dude. Yeah. What the hell?
It's really? That was last year?
That was last year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just stuff like that. I mean, that's just grinds my gears. It's like, I don't have to love every game, but I can give my honest opinion about stuff. And I don't need to be negative 90% of the time to say I don't like something. Look, when I say I don't like a game, I typically say, here's what I don't like about it, but I hope it could become this. Or if I love a game, I tell you why I love it, right? I think we're all that way. But you have these editors out there that are just so freaking salty. And I'm 42 years old now. So I'm old and I'm tired of hearing it. It's ridiculous.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's so annoying.
I don't know. It kills me because this year is going to be so exciting. So I feel like if you're still not into gaming in 2016, maybe you need to do something else, take a break, read some books or something, but I'm fully 100% prepared for the amazing games we're going to play this year. And not even just from a fun perspective, but like from a storytelling perspective, from a world building perspective, from a community perspective of playing with you guys and our fans and the community out there. I mean, there's so many things gaming offers and it just gets better every year. I'll never understand people that can go to E3 and just be like, oh, I don't want to be here. That blows my mind.
Yeah, you know what's funny? And I mean to cut you off, Patrick. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know what's funny? That the feedback that I got last week, because I freaking melted down about VR and playing Minecraft on the Oculus, right? I got so many people hitting me up on email and on Twitter and stuff like that. Just like was like, oh, man, thank you. Like the fact that I was so against it, but could admit how I was wrong and now I'm genuinely excited about it. Like, I had people going, are you going to buy it? Are you going to buy it? You know, just asking me, just, mm-hmm. are you going to buy it? Because if you buy it, I might buy it too. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to spend that amount of money. But I, like one person I was having a conversation, like I said, hey, if it went sub 500, I would seriously consider getting it at this point. That's how much that demo mm-hmm. impressed me in Minecraft and VR.
No, I'm with you. That's, I mean, dope, for man. Me right now, if it was $399, I'd buy it. No question. That's probably my like jump at price. But I'm still very curious to know what we're going to get game wise. Is this going to be a very slow, painful, staggering launch? Or, you know, are they going to have enough games available on day one, regardless of Morpheus, Oculus, or Vive? Just curious, you know, how long is this going to be a high end tech product before it breaks through? And will that be word of mouth? Or will that be from critical reviews? People literally have to try it like you did and I did, Paris, before we, you know, become believers. A lot of questions. I'm really excited to see more VR this year, though. Really want to play.
Well, I have a quick question before we go to our next topic. If they release Minecraft for Morpheus for PlayStation 4, same exact experience, everything, that you don't need a PC, and it's cheaper, which I think it is going to be cheaper than Oculus. Will you buy it?
Sign me up.
Okay.
Yeah, if it comes with it, like if that's part of the
not
price.
Not with it. I doubt it's going to come with it. But
I'll admit I don't love Minecraft enough, even as cool it is in VR, for that to be my jumping in point. For me, I would probably still rather pick something I'm enthusiastically passionate about. But if I'm going to get it anyways, or I get it at some kind of steep discount, then yeah. Because for me, it was the moment that me and Paris both, you know, entered the multiplayer community, playing with other people, playing it normally, and we were the only VR people. I mean, that to me is a selling point, is that interactive human experience in these large open worlds. So I'm all on board, but I'm not the building kind of guy in Minecraft. So, like, I still would not spend $60 for Minecraft on top of the $400 or $500 for Morpheus. But that would still probably be one of the first games I got if it was cheap or came with it.
What about Portal VR?
Well, yeah. Actually, that brings up my point. In all reality, Sony, even though Morpheus is most likely going to be cheaper, has more to prove to me than the Vive or the Oculus, for the simple fact that the Oculus or the Vive, I could see me investing more on potential because there's more developers out there to make games for it because it's on the PC, right? Mm-hmm. Versus being in just the PlayStation ecosystem, I need to see more. I need to see more WoW games. I need to see more up front is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Versus, all right, maybe there's one or two cool games, and I know potentially down the road they'll have more. Whereas, like I said, the big thing with Oculus and probably even the Vive as well isn't so much the games. It's going to be the social interaction that you can have with this, to where literally imagine 2-3 years from now, we're doing Gamertag Radio together. Yeah. We're all sitting together in a room doing the podcast via VR. Don't matter where we are in the world. That's the crazy stuff that gets me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be awesome, though.
Yeah.
What?
If no one's seen Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, there is a perfect scene that imagines what that will be like, and I am very much looking forward to it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Well, there's some news, too, about this Nintendo theme park. Remember, we've been talking about this for a while, since like last year? Well, already Nintendo and Universal Studios in Japan, they announced that they are going to start building this theme park, and it's opening in 2020 in Japan. And I believe they're going to invest $350 million on site to make this happen. And of course, they're going to have like a lot of rides and attractions based on all Nintendo characters, Zelda, Donkey Kong, and Pokemon, and even Super Mario Brothers. But what are your thoughts, man? Because now I really need to go to Japan now, man, for this. I let me tell you, I would love to see this in person. Love it. I doubt it's going to come over here for a very long time. I don't see this happening in Orlando.
I don't think I don't think the Big N could support something considering their business has declined considerably. I mean, they have to make a major turnaround with NX, I can almost foresee the Big N going down as a result. I mean, I don't know if they'll ever lose enough money outside of Japan. And obviously, I think this is something that would only succeed in Japan. I don't know if there's enough popularity or excitement for something like this to garner enough attraction to make money here.
Oh, mm-hmm. Dude, but they have a lot of money, dude.
Right, so they can spend. So it's more prudent for them to spend the money in Japan, where they know they're going to have a constant flow of people to come in mm-hmm. and see it. But I don't think this is something that you would see outside of Japan.
Well, here's the thing that we haven't really talked about, but this year, that's when they're going to be releasing their first mobile app. And they're also going to be releasing, I think, later this year, the new Pokemon game, which I'm excited for the mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be awesome. Going outside and searching for Pokemons in real locations. That's pretty
Pokemon
awesome.
Pokemon Go is pretty cool.
Yeah. And the 3DS has been selling a lot. So they're making a lot of money through that. Mm-hmm. Wii U, I can understand they're making something, not like compared to like the 3DS and stuff like that. So they're good.
It's sustainable. But I mean, I agree with Pete. I mean, it's just the market for Nintendo in this country, it's there, but it's there for gaming because the majority of the Nintendo audience is people of my generation and older like you guys. Again, I don't know how many kids these days are as attached to Nintendo as we were growing up. Certainly in Japan, it's probably easier. Because
everyone likes
Nintendo over in Japan, but I feel like kids in America have so many options in terms of how they would entertain themselves that would not be sustainable for just having a theme park that's predominantly visited by grown-ups, because the kid aspect is kind of critical to amusement parks. I would go, don't get me wrong, I'd love to go to it, but is that worth the trip to Japan for that? Probably not. But if I was already in Osaka anyways visiting, yeah, I would definitely go check out the Nintendo theme park for sure. I hope it works for them. I wish them success. But for me, more importantly, I'm focused with the NX. I care about the games. I want them to have a strong presence at E3 and hopefully some really good holiday strong sales, because I'd like them to climb back up possibly into, you know, a higher sales spot than what they've been accustomed to in the last couple of years.
But here's the thing. I know for a fact that if they build this park in Orlando, you guys will be the first ones, and everybody else. Everybody knows about Nintendo, even non-gamers, people that don't play games, knows about all these Nintendo characters. And I think it will be a great theme park if they could make this happen here in the States. You know, just imagine a roller coaster of Donkey Kong or Super Mario Kart
or
maybe Mario World, 3D World, whatever, you know, or Zelda Adventure. I don't know. They could come up with so many things, man. Yeah, you know, they got it, man. I think they will make it happen, and everybody else will support it, you know. So, Pete, cool. Are you ready for a fan mail or what?
Fan mail.
Okay. Your voice sounded really low. I can't hear you. That's the problem. Wow. Maybe it's your mic.
Clean the wax out your
ear. All right, here goes. All right, and it is time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
Yeah, Pete, I don't know, man. Something about that voice of yours, but I'll let it slide. I'll let it slide. Anybody would like to read any emails? Because we have a lot. We have so much content here. Thanks, guy. Keep on sending emails. Love it. Keep it up.
This one's from Dave. It says, hi, guys. Just following up on the episode about the summer showcase and the spring showcase, and particularly Quantum Break. I got a little worried after your preview as the way you guys talked about it was as the game still has a lot of development left, but it really doesn't. The game has already gone gold and is releasing it in about 4 weeks from now. You mentioned a few bugs and glitches, which are a little concerning, unless you were playing an old build. Unlikely, I would have thought. Or B, Remedy has a pretty hefty day one patch ready to go to fix some of these things. Am I right to be worried? Keep up the good work and congrats on the 11th birthday. Regards, Dave. Appreciate it, Dave. Me and Paris.
Well, I wasn't there.
Yeah, me and Paris, we both played the same thing. We have slightly differing opinions on the matter. But we played the Windows 10 version, and yes, it was very early, I would say. I don't know how much work they are continuing to do on it, but what I played was rough visually. But the gameplay, for me, was fairly strong. Gameplay tuning, balancing could definitely be required. I'm not worried about this game. I know Remedy will put all the time and effort into it they need to, and Microsoft is not going to let them, you know, release a half-assed game of this caliber, because this is going to be a big system seller, I imagine, for the game. They're going to push it hard marketing-wise. So I'm not concerned. I don't think you should be either. Just give it time to breathe. And I think overall it'll be a fun game when it comes out, and that's really what matters. But yeah, what I played was not ideal, I would say. But it was the Windows 10 version. It's the first time they were showing it off. They have a lot of work to do. Again, not concerned. Paris, you want to add to that?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, the Xbox One version locked and loaded, pretty much ready to go.
Yeah.
We have no idea what build we played of the Windows 10 version. There easily could be a newer build that they simply just did not have at the event, because this one was stable enough at 1080p, 30 frames per second. They stated over and over again, day one, it will be 4K. If your rig can handle it, then you 60 frames per second, the whole thing. So I'm going to go by what Remedy's saying. They've not given me a reason to doubt them. So unless something changes at launch, I think it'll be fine. I mean, if you've played the Gears of War Windows 10 version, I mean, it was fine day one. So, I mean, we'll see.
All right, I guess I'll give this one. I've got a pretty good track record with saying last names, but this is from Emmanuel Bigombe. Folks, thanks for your hard work, dedication, and passion that goes into making this the best games podcast out there today. I'm an avid listener currently based in Budapest, Hungary, a place where we're unlikely to bump into the big names from the game media. That's why it's so disappointing when one of these personalities happens to be in town. We never get the opportunity to meet them. Example, 2 years ago, an indie games developer brought Rooster Teeth to their studio to preview their game. A bunch of us reached out to both the studio and Rooster Teeth while they are here, just asking if they would have a short opportunity to say hi. No response. But a couple days later, they posted pics of themselves partying with Rooster Teeth in a pub nearby. A week ago, the same studio brought Angry Joe to town to preview their new game. We reached out to both Joe and the studio multiple times, asking them to just name a time and place, and we will be there just to say hi and be on our way. Once again, no response. But a day later, photos on Twitter of Joe at a pub in my neighborhood partying with the studio folks, and even bumping into one or two fans and taking pics. Maybe it's feeling of entitlement on my part, but it's a little disappointing when you support someone independent over the years and have a great appreciation for their work. And by chance, you were in the same city that night and we were denied that 5-minute meet and greet. Remember, this is Hungary, and their content is English. There might be 5 to 10 fans that show up. They will not be confronted by an unruly crowd of pill-popping groupies. Not always a bad thing. My question, what effort do you put into meeting fans of the podcast when you're out of town? If another company has brought you to town, do you feel it's out of place to let fans know where you'll be in touch base with them? Really hope something will bring you around my way and I can buy you all a round of drinks to thank you for your great work over the years. Thanks for listening to my rant. Keep up the good work.
Wow, that's a great, great question. You know what? It depends on the situation, because sometimes we'll get invited to attend an event, but we can't post online that we're in certain location. Like, we got to keep this like on the down low, and after we arrive back home, then maybe a week later or a couple of days later, we're allowed to post pictures. That's number one. Number two, the schedule. You know, Pete and Paris were in London for like a week. They had zero free time. Am I right, guys?
Well, like Danny always said, or Danny's already said, you know, there's been opportunities where we've come out, and to actually Rooster Teeth's Jack P, when we were out in London back in September with Ubisoft in Paris, you know, he made it a point to have a get together, an event where people from the local community can come together and hang out. Now, whether that thing was for 5 minutes, you know, half an hour to an hour, whatever, I don't know. But Jack took it upon himself to make sure that there was time for him to go out and meet, you know, the locals and make them feel as part of the community. So, you know, it's all based on scheduling. Like, you know, when I went out to San Diego or to LA with Paris back in January, we didn't have a chance to, you know, it was literally fly in. Paris picked me up, went to the event, went and had a sandwich afterwards, and then, you know, went back to the hotel to fly out the next day. You know, it's all based
on time. Well, I can even add to that, just at the spring showcase, I literally landed in San Francisco at 8 a.m., hopped on the BART, got to the event right on time. Spent the whole time at the event. We cut out. I probably saw Mandy for what, 45 minutes?
Yeah. not even
hopped on the BART, yeah. took my behind back to the airport and flew home. I mean, there was no time for anything. And I had other people texting me mad because, oh, well, what you do to San Francisco? Are you not going to hang out? I'm like, look, man, this is the plane. What you want me to do? I got to go, you know? So it's tough. It may seem like people are hanging out and having time, but it just comes down to time and you never know. Like when we were in London, there were about two or three other people we could have hung out with, and we thought we were going to have all this extra time to hang out and do all this kind of stuff. No, man, they had us on such a tight schedule. We were constantly on the go. It just wasn't time.
Yeah.
And then, all right, so this message is from Matt Campanella. Greetings, fellas and occasional lady. I was catching up on some GTR, and to my surprise, you guys just had your 11th anniversary. I remember when I found gaming podcasts like Sarcastic Gamer, X3F, Xbox 360 Fanboy for those, XCast, Achievement Junkie, etc., and they led me to GTR. Out of all those older podcasts that I listen to regularly, you guys have persevered and took it to another level. After listening to you guys for the last 9 or 10 years, following you guys on social media, and occasionally getting the chance to play games with you guys are like family. Seeing Pete and his wife getting married, Patrick hitting 21 and not getting stuck outside during an event, he has become a hell of an interviewer. Meeting Mandy at PAX and actually getting to be on your podcast, getting to know David and playing many a game with him, the list goes on. Thank you guys for doing what you do and continuing to excel at it. Looking forward to hearing you guys for many more years. Congrats again. Game on. Matt, aka MC The Keep. You know, thanks, Matt, for writing in. And, you know, it's opportunities like that, again, if we have the time, we'll do it. And, you know, shout out to, you know, people like Doug. You know, we got to meet him out at CES and, you know, went and had dinner with him and the guys from Sarcastic Gamer. And it's one of those little things you got to take, you know, your fans into consideration and the people that listen to your show and give you the chance to do what you do. So
thanks. Thanks a lot,
thanks,
Matt.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Pete married, Patrick turning 21, can finally drink. Yeah. You know what? It's crazy because, you know, we build this podcast out of love, and we got to meet so many people throughout the community throughout the years and stuff. And you know, just like I was joking the other day with Paris, man, like you know, he hit me up because he saw me and Chris had a video, like on some video, I can't remember, video interview about podcasting. We were at a Microsoft headquarters
Lord of the Rings,
there you go. And he hit me up, and look, we built this relationship because of that moment, you know? So it's like, like what Matt says, like he found all these shows and then eventually he found us. So everybody's going to have that special moment throughout the whole time. It doesn't have to be all the way from the beginning, but throughout the years, it's awesome, man. It's something special to me, man. You know what? Meeting Pete for the first time, playing Guitar Hero in my house, and he was bothering me every day. Come on, Godfrey. Let me be on the podcast. I'm down to help you out. I don't care. And I sent it to LA, and it was like a dream come true. He's like, oh my God, this is crazy. But see, this is awesome. This is the best thing, man, because, you know, meeting all of you guys, like Paris, Patrick, Pete, even Mandy and Dave and everybody else has been part of GTR. Like, we're all family, man, like more than friends, you know, and we have our arguments, we have our debates, but at the end of the day, we're family to me, man, you know, so. And I love you guys, man. It's been a great, awesome 11 years. All right, so we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thank you for listening to episode 548. And of course, we're going to be releasing a new episode this Monday. So stay tuned for that. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes and, you know, subscribe. We're everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, etc. Just let us know. Where you're listening to the show and stuff. You could go to playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. Take a quick, very short 3-minute survey and let us know everything about yourself, where you're listening to, where you're listening from and all that stuff. So, another thing too, give us a call 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
I love you, Peter.
Right. And we're out. Peace. Until next time.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.